listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Catch Them Doing Something Good edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to noon, my guests and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Today, I have caught someone doing something really good for our children and doing so in their language. My guest today is John Leslie Brown. John Leslie began his professional speaking career at the age of 14, becoming the highest paid teen speaker in America, captivating audiences and targeting young people with speeches, songs, and most importantly, his message, which is our lives will serve as either a warning or an example. John Leslie has been a community advocate and grassroots organizer. He volunteered as a teacher at activities for retarded children, which is ARC, where he later became a full-time staff member. He also started a teen speakers bureau in Los Angeles to help young adults develop their communication skills. In addition, he has participated in dozens of teen summits, spoken to hundreds of youth in juvenile facilities, performed in countless, easy for me to say, shows, and has made numerous media appearances. And today he launches High Hopes for Schools. John Leslie, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's such a pleasure to be your guest.
Hey, well, it's great to have you here, but apparently I'm going to need to take one of your classes on communication skills.
No, there's no problem. You know, they say there's no substitute for experience, so you're working it out. You're working it out.
All right. I appreciate it. Hey, I got to tell you that the term High Hopes for High Schools, as soon as I met you and I heard that, I knew that I had to get you on this show. Now, you've been speaking to high school since the age of 14. You remain the highest paid teen speaker of our time. Let's talk about that experience and how that inspired you to run with High Hopes for High Schools.
Well, yes, thank you very much, Alan. And I'm such a fan of your program and what you're doing to give back. You hit those key words in the beginning, catch them doing something good, you know. And as a teenager, the good thing that I was doing was I was speaking. I was using my voice. I would, unfortunately, at that time, though, I was speaking mainly not to kids my age, but to people in corporate America, to top executives. And from the age of 14 to 19, I would go into these top companies and executives, but I would say, hold on. What is it going to take to reach my people with this message? And when I say my people, I mean this new generation, the next executives over the next 20 years, the new entrepreneurs that are emerging. And so when I spoke to high school audiences, I noticed that they paid more attention at the poem at the end of my speech than to the speech itself.
You know? Absolutely.
And so that used to upset me as an intellectual, but I just knew I had to do something different. I had to put these same principles that we share with top executives in a way that young people can hear it as well. And that was really the start of my journey.
Well, and that's exactly what resonated with me more than anything. I also have spoken before high schools, but what I realized right away is that, you know, afterwards the teachers sounded like they got the message and some of the PTA members sounded like they got the message. The kids, I don't know that they were getting the message because I don't know that I was speaking the right language. And that's why, I mean, as soon as I heard some of your songs, I realized this is something that's resonating with them. I played these songs for my 15-year-old son. He got it, okay? And you know, as a dad, I know that I'm in that position right now to where they're not really getting me, okay? Being the dad and being of another generation, I realized that. So to me, this is just the ideal way to get this message out, and it's getting it to them at a time in which they need it so desperately. So for that, I am just so thankful for what you're doing.
Very true. And you can imagine at 19 when you're earning $10,000 an hour and you go back to your dad and you say, hey, Dad, guess what? I'm going to be the first motivational speaker with the number one hip-hop music video. You know, there's not a much of love and support there. My dad thought, you are crazy. What? You're going to give up this career where I've trained you, molded you since a kid to go and be a rapper?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, Daddy, I'm not going to be a rapper. I'm going to make them think I am, but you taught me to be a world-class leader. So when they come to hear that hit song, I'm going to have them reach under their chair and then pull out the workbook, and we're going to give them a life-changing seminar. You know, that was in my young and naive mind. So
well, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know how naive it was, because it really is. It is the trigger. And in fact, you know, I was listening to some songs just over the weekend, and for instance, Jay-Z and Beyonce just did a song, together at the Coachella Music Festival. And so I just listened to that, and I thought, and it has a good message. It has a positive message. And I thought, as I'm listening to some of your songs at the same time, and I'm thinking, that's who needs to be recording these as well. Okay, you're out there doing this. How do we now get either someone like that to be recording your songs, or get you on the top 40, on the things to where the kids are hearing you more than just coming to their high school?
That's such a major point that you made there. The influence that these artists have on our youth. And I was invited to the Coachella Music and Fashion Festival this weekend, and I couldn't go because I was preparing for my presentation today, you know,
right.
which I just finished speaking. We're kicking off the High Hopes for High Schools program here in Sacramento at the school St. Hope Academy, which is the mayor, Kevin Johnson, his school as well. And I have to tell you, for the first kickoff event, I was, and this is a takeaway for all of your audience members, when you think about success, for those of you all that are listening, you want to remember this. My dad shared this with me. You will fail your way to success. Okay? You will fail your way to success. What do you mean by that? We look at some of the people at the top of their industries, whether in entertainment or athletics. Jay-Z himself, he tried to give his demo to everyone in the music industry and they would not listen. So he had to start his own label. That label he went on to sell for millions of dollars. And I came here speaking at this high school today wanting to pass on these principles. The three pillars of High Hopes for High School. Number one, to raise the high school graduation rate.
Exactly.
As you know, Alan, we have the highest high school dropout rate that this nation has ever had. Only 52% of students are graduating.
Right. Say that again so that people understand.
52. Only 52%. If you had a 52% chance of hitting the lottery, you still might play. Well, not play that day. You know what I'm saying? You need some better odds. So only 52% of our kids that are graduating. So I'm not here to focus on or to down talk the other 48%. The 48 that's not graduating. Let's not focus on the dropout rate, which is normally what we do. But as you know, that what you focus on longest becomes the strongest. So let's focus on the graduation rate. Let's focus on that 52%, those that are graduating, and let's find out how we can add more value to increase that number. I'm actually sitting right now with a student from Sacramento High School who is here, and she just got accepted into college. Please introduce yourself and tell us what college you get accepted into.
Hi, my name is Deborah Harris, and I got accepted into Benedict College in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
Benedict College in South Carolina.
Congratulations.
Now, one of the things that I noticed while speaking with her is that students these days, and for all the educators and social workers and those that are in the trenches, as I call it, with our youth, what you touched on earlier, Alan, is they've got totally different issues than where we were coming up. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that I said while speaking to these students today, Yes, we know that your life will either serve as a warning or an example, but we talked about downtime. And we talked about how to maximize your downtime. When you're outside of school, that's time that's not obligated. And one of the things I shared was most people are not successful in life, and most people don't maximize their downtime because they are more dedicated to their distractions than they are to their destinies.
That's a great point.
Most people, they're not as successful as they can be. They never make it to that next level, never even create the program that can help the young people in the way that they intend to, because they're more dedicated to their distractions than they are to their destiny. And I know that you have had some distractions as being a high school kid. Please tell Alan and some of what you've had to overcome in order to get accepted into your university that you will be attending.
Well, firstly, I had a baby last year in 2009. My son was born. He was 1 pound, and he was in the hospital for 3 to 4 months. And so I was, the first day of school was August 4th, and I had him July 18th, so I had to be at school that first day. And I've been in school ever since. And just recently, my mom kicked me and my baby out at the beginning of the month, and so I've been homeless, like from house to house, and I'm still in school. I'm still getting good grades, and I've got 7 in college, and everything is just falling into place for me right now because I never gave up on myself.
Oh, that's incredible.
Wow.
And you're right. You're right. Never giving up. That is the key. Tell us a little bit about some of the help that you got so that other people that are listening can understand maybe what they can do to help people that might find themselves in the same position.
Well, a major help for me was my advisory teacher, Ms. Starks. She has really helped me a lot. I mean, down to buying my son diapers. Anything I needed, she did it for me. And I really appreciate her for that, because it was times where I thought, like, oh, my God, what am I going to do next? And she talked to me and she told me, Deborah, I'm going to help you whatever you need. If you need to come stay at my house, you can come, you know. So she was a major help for me.
Wow. See, I mean, I love to hear that, but at the same time, this other thing resonating in the back of my head is that our economy is in a position that we're giving teachers pink slips. How wrong is that? I mean, think about it, okay? When there's decisions being made by our politicians to give teachers pink slips, you might be given a teacher pink slip that's doing things like this, okay, that are saving these kids' lives, that are getting them off the streets, that are getting them set up to get into a college. We need to be making sure that they are in those positions to be able to help. Come on, guys.
Yes, that's very true. And those that don't have, those that aren't, some teachers that get pink slips, we all know that they need them, you know.
Right, right.
Not everyone's going to go the extra mile. Everyone's not there solely for the students, like Ms. Starks and many of your listeners today that go the extra mile. But when you are in this new economy, in order to keep your position, especially if it's something that you've been called to do, one of the things that I've learned, you got to provide more service than you get paid for.
There you go.
You know, and that's another takeaway. Provide more service than you get paid for. Ms. Stark, she doesn't get paid for providing Pampers for students or for being there when you need someone to talk to, but that's the reason why she's not getting a pink slip. It's because the impact that she's made in students' lives, they're measurable, and the place would not be the same with her. And so as we are looking forward and navigating in this new economy, she touched on something that's very key. She said she had a baby in July,
mm-hmm.
and she had to be in school in August. Okay?
That's incredible.
This is a whole new generation here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a whole new climate. She said that she had a baby, but she was coming to class every day. I pulled her out of class to come do this interview. Okay? Because I feel like her voice needs to be heard.
Absolutely. And you make sure you stay after to keep to help her stay caught up, because you took her out of class.
that's a great point. And so I asked her too, and I'll let her tell you, when I got here, you know, as speakers, and I'm hoping that she will be one of my new speakers as well. So we're coaching her in this interview here in the school. And what did you say?
I told them that attendance is one, and then mostly, like, kids don't they don't, like, believe in it, so they give up easily, and it's not good to, like, you think, oh, I'm already failing, just give up. Don't give up on yourself. You have to keep going because you never know. You might just pull it through right at the end. You might have a 69%, and right at the end you study for that final, and you might just pull through and get the grade that you want to get. Don't just give up on yourself.
Hey, and that plays right into what you're saying. Just show up. That's the first step. Just show up. If you show up, that's the first step. There's going to be other people there that are going to be able to help you. So I couldn't agree with her more.
Exactly. That brings us to our point. So you see, she made the point for me, and you know, and you blessed it to your list and to your listeners. My topic is show up. They can't take any days off. We need you to keep showing up. That's why we're so happy that you tuned in, because you're telling us that you're willing to show up for our youth, show up for our future in a time when we need them the most.
Absolutely. Now, let me jump into something, because we have some listener questions. In fact, I always thank the listeners. Thank you for that. Means that you're getting the press releases. That means that you have interest in our guests. And we've got something that's a little bit different here, where it says this is a single mother that has sent in an email. And what she's saying is that she has two teens who listen almost exclusively to hip hop music with their iPods. She says that it disturbs her that I have no way to really monitor what they are listening to. I find that what I do hear is very graphic regarding sex and violence. How does your guest suggest I deal with this and not alienate my children? And this, I think, should be a question not only for you, John Leslie, but for your guest, Evelyn, as to what would be some suggestions as to what she can do with her teens.
Right. That's a very good point. And first of all, she said something key. She said, you know, I don't know what to do. They're listening to it, and it's no way nowadays to monitor everything that your child listens to. So that's out of there, okay?
Right.
The moment that you try to censor what they hear, when they go over to their friend's house, they play it louder, right? And so hiding them from it is not the best technique,
exactly.
Okay? What we need to do with our kids, and which is important, which is what I've been working on, is to provide an alternative. An alternative. And so for many years, when parents would hear something that they did not like, when it's got that banging beat coming out of it, they say turn it down or turn it off.
Right.
Right? Especially if they hear something that they don't like. Now we want you to say, instead of turn it down or turn it off, because now they've turned it down and they kept it on, but they turned it in their iPods, you know, so you can't hear it.
Right.
But now we want to say, hey, turn this up.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So you can right now, you can get another CD that your kid will listen to from johnlesliebrown.com. And you want to say, here, you don't want to say, hey, this is some motivational speaker guy that's going to help transform your life from the subconscious mind out. You don't want to tell him that, you know? You want to say, and tell, have her, I hope she's listening, and we want her to write this down. Bump this. Right, you want to use that terminology. Bump this. Right, and tell me what you think. I heard this guy, his name, don't tell him John Leslie Brown. They won't listen to that guy. They won't listen to John Leslie Brown. Say, bump high hopes.
There
and tell
go.
Me what you think. Okay, and mom, what? Come on. Say, bump this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And you provide that alternative for them to listen to. I was the same way. I used to listen to Brian Tracy, to Jim Rowan, mm-hmm. and I would turn off those CDs and turn on Tupac Shakur.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, Tupac motivated me as well. And so right now our kids are learning more from rappers they're motivational speakers.
Right.
And, period.
Right. And, and unfortunately, I mean, you know, we don't have that much control of what it is that is being said. So it might be Lil Wayne. It might be somebody that you may not want mm-hmm. them to be listening to.
Exactly. Yeah. In one of my songs, I say, no, I just can't forget about the parents. These little kids will follow Lil Weezy off a terrace. You know,
that's
if
right.
he jumped off the cliff, they follow him on the way down with their chain on. Okay, so I understand, but more so, more importantly, it starts with the dialogue. You know,
yep.
the insight for her to send that question in. It says she's really looking for solutions and answers, and so I would like to hear a young person's perspective. What type of music do you listen to? And if that was your mom asking the question, how could she influence you?
Evelyn?
Well, I normally listen to, like, R&B, so I'm more of, like, a soulful person. But I do tend to listen to the Lil Wayne and the Jay-Z. So I just feel like if they're 13, then, you know, I mean, you can control them, but like you already said, they're going to do it anyway. So the best thing for you to do is to compromise, like you said, and just find something else that's more motivational or more to your standard. And, like, listen to this. And, if, you know, if it's rap music, they'll listen to it because kids like rap music. They like the beat. The beat is what's going to really get them to listen to it. So
exactly. We were just speaking in this gymnasium, okay, which is the hardest environment for a speaker to ever get to speak in a gym where people are thinking about playing basketball, right? The sound system was, it only allowed me to move about 5 to 10 feet out, okay? But when the beat came on, that's what caught their attention.
Yep.
And so my job for you and for your listeners, I've got to get the most, and excuse my language here, the most banginest beats, okay? Excuse me, I know I'm incorrect there. The most banginest beats, all right? I'm only saying that incorrectly, so that when her teenage son does put on the headphones, the beat is so good that the content only complements it. And it does the job for her. You know, I could say the same thing to her sons over a beat, and they'll bob their head to it.
Right. Absolutely.
But if I was just saying it to it, they would not hear it. So I tell her, you want to buy my album. Okay, this is what you want to do. That's what I made it for. You want to buy it, and then if they don't trust your music sense, and you saying, here, listen to this, does not do it, you want to get them in the car and turn your speaker up all the way,
yep.
Okay? And so what happens is when you listen to my first CD, I have a song called excuse me. I'm speaking in a school right now, but there's a song that says that's called Let's Get High. And the opening says, when I say get high, y'all get hope. Get high hopes. Get high hopes. Once your kids hear that banging out of your car, they're in tune. And then all you got to do is make sure you get on the freeway when it's traffic time. Okay? It's got to be traffic time. And then they're going to look at you by the third or fourth song. They're going to say, Mom, you are so cool, and this is the most bangingest album I have ever heard. Does that make sense, Alan?
Well, I'll tell you what, it does make sense. And to take it one step further, again, not only to this, to the person that sent in the email, but don't start out by telling them you like it, because that could be the kiss of death right there.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on that about, you know, what parents like kids know? Tell them a little bit about that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If your mom likes it, then it's not cool.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's so uncool, like, oh my God, my mom listens to this CD. I can't listen to it. So don't say anything. Like, just put it on. Let them decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
You hear that for all the parents and the activists and the people that are out there in the trenches. I know you're attractive, Alan. Guess
yep.
what? If you like it, it's not cool.
That's right. Exactly. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell a story like that. There's a group out called Jet. It's a rock and roll group, and my son brought home a CD and says, Dad, listen to this group. They are so cool. And started playing it. And I went, oh, that is great. I really like that. I said, in fact, I said, they sound a lot like The Who. And he said, Who? And I go, never mind. Never mind. I said, think, yeah, think CSI, okay? Think CSI theme song and you'll know what the Who is. But I really like them. You know what? That was it for Jet. Jet did not get any play after that because Dad liked it, so they could not be cool.
So that teaches us something. When you get the CD or you download some MP3s, or you just call in and say, we need one of those CDs, we'll make sure you have it, okay? This is what you want to do. I saw this speaker, this young guy, giving a speech, but he ruined it by playing his music. Then he started rapping. Oh, my gosh. I was there. I was supposed to be learning. Then he's doing this hip-hop stuff. Can you please take the CD away from me? Then give it to him.
Guess there you what? Go.
Your child will be getting straight A's, room clean, college bound, ready to take over the world and start earning money as a speaker.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you what. John Leslie, tell us a little bit about the song Born to Win, and then I want to go ahead and add it. But actually, you know what? Before you do that, we've got a call coming in. Let me see if I can conference him in. All right, here we go. Add to conference. Hi, you're on with John Leslie Brown and Answers for the Family. Okay.
Wow.
You know, there they are.
They've got a great voice.
You know what? My apologies. Please call back because you're breaking up a little bit. So please hang up, and if you get a chance, we will try to get you in again. Okay.
Okay, yes. And while we bring them in, Born to Win, which is the song that you have, I had an opportunity. Imagine this, okay? Imagine being told that you are going to be a great motivational speaker all your life. Not only being told that you're going to be a great motivational speaker, that's all you knew how to do, okay? I stopped playing on the basketball and the football team to go on the tour as a speaker. And then when I had this bigger dream of reaching the youth in a way that they can understand it, I felt like, oh, my goodness, how am I ever going to be considered a real artist? When you have the Jay-Z's out there and the Lil Wayne's and the Kanye West and all those, I'm going to develop my skill enough in order to impact that environment. And, you know, at that time, I had no songs recorded. I had no connections in the music industry. I just had a big dream. I just had a huge dream. And so with the song Born to Win, it's very close to my heart because I feel like it's one of the initial first singles that will be released on the radio. But by the time I made that song, I had recorded already 300 songs. Okay, I had already started an inner city youth program and worked at a nonprofit organization. I had already done the things that they said was impossible for me to do. And so I was working through one of my dad's workshops, the great Les Brown, and many of your listeners are familiar with his work. And I was there, and I always like to make songs out of my dad's speeches. That's pretty much my artwork. Jay-Z, one of the things that he says, and you can ask your kids about this, he'll use words from Biggie Smalls in his songs to honor him because they were close. And so what I do is every speech that my dad has ever given, I have a song for. And so he says in this one speech, he says, everyone was born to win. He says, and I can prove it. Let me tell you how I can prove it. He said, whenever I have a dream about myself or the future, and there's some type of a sports event or an athlete, I'm always the star of the dream. Okay? Mm-hmm. he's like, the score is 58-57. The ball comes in to Les Brown. Oh, he shoots right at the buzzer. He shoots. He scores. He says, no one ever dreams with them being on the bench or picking up somebody's sweat off the floor. He said, that's an example that you were born to win.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, Alan?
That makes great sense. I love that. And it's absolutely true. I mean, you know, every dream that I've ever had, I'm either the star or I'm running from somebody.
That's right. That's right. And for somebody, you must really be doing something right, you know? So that's what I said. Okay, how did I take that one little segment from my dad's speech of you were born to win? And that dream, that impacted me growing up. So after I turned off my Tupac CDs, I heard that, you know? So how do I make that into a song? And that's born to win. So the initial words, if you listen, I'll break down some of the words in it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. Let me play a little bit of it, and then we'll be right back, okay? Here we go.
Perfect.
Trust the source. You were born to win, so be confident. Don't back down for nothing. Face the storm and trust the source. You were born to win.
It's just like so being born again. Be confident.
Don't back down for nothing. Face the storm and trust the source.
I lost my boys and lost boys lose their freedom. Sad thing about it is this world needs them. They got bad habits but read some good books. Cause just like me they want their locks looking good. Miseducation out of hip hop nations on them radio stations. But your heart's got passions. Don't worry, you was born to win. Shoot for the moon.
Now, for everybody out there listening, wouldn't you rather hear that on MTV when you walk in the room and your kids are watching it? Isn't that something you'd rather hear?
And that actually, I apologize for that interruption, but Born to Win, that principle is perfect for technical difficulties. Because what happens is when you live long enough, you will see that you're going to have distractions. You're going to have things go wrong. You're going to have times where that dream was supposed to be you scoring the slam dunk and you are running away from the refs and everybody else in the bleachers after you, you know. But in those times, it's recognizing who and whose you are and the fact that you were born to win.
Absolutely.
You know,
You bring up a great point with that too, because and I was just reading something where they were talking about with the NBA playoffs, and they were talking about the fact that 9 times out of 10 at the end of the game, if the Lakers are playing, Kobe's going to end up with the ball. But what they also said is that only about 50% of the time is he going to hit that shot. But yet. Everybody looks at him as to being one of the most clutch players in the game. They want the ball in his hand, but yet they know he's only going to hit that shot half the time. He's going to fail the other half the time, but he still wants the ball. And I think that's what you're talking about with just show up. Just show up, want the ball, take the ball, and go for it. It's not going to hit every time, but that doesn't mean that you just stop.
That does not mean that you just stop. Perfect example. We're here in Sacramento, kicking off the High Hopes for High School campaign. I just finished giving the worst presentation in my entire life, okay? If I could, after a presentation, you know how some people, usually I stand, I sign autographs and stuff. If they would have had a little hole for me to go crawl up in and hide, Alan, you know, where's John Leslie? Oh, he's in the hole hiding. Why? You know, it's because you expect, when you are Kobe, you expect to come in and you expect to hit that shot at the game winner. Even if you are speaking in a gymnasium and the kids aren't quieting down and the sound system does not work, that does not matter. I was born to win. I'm going to demand this audience, you know, to listen to this message and to get the value that I'm looking to bring. The only reason why I'm not somewhere in a hole right now crying, saying, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you embarrassed yourself in front of all these high school kids. The only reason is because my problems are compared to nothing when you got Deborah here who had to be back in school in August and she had a baby in July.
That's right.
Okay? If she could come to school and show up despite potentially being embarrassed or despite worrying about what people said, then what responsibility do I have? I was born to win. I'm going to come back even if they don't want me here.
Well, first of all, I'm confident they probably will want you back, but you know, getting you back may be tough because there's a lot of other schools that need you as well. And as you know, probably from the first time when you were 14 and you were speaking to corporate types, this is only going to get better. It is only going to get bigger. And as you do it, more people are going to hear it. More are going to want it. And you are probably your hardest critic, because the bottom line is most of the kids out there probably didn't see the things that you think you may have made as a mistake.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. But you know what? I have a major victory here. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a huge victory where the work's not over. You know, I have one of the students here with me in a part of this interview, and that to me is where the victory comes in. It is where it starts. You know, and so in the song Born to Win, just for the listeners, for those of you all that could not hear the song, or to my dad, I let him hear a song and he still don't know what it talks about, you know. And I could put the words right there in front of him. But I just want to go through some of the words for you. Is that okay, Alan?
Well, absolutely. But before we do that, we've only got about 10 more minutes, and I want to make sure I get in a couple more of the listener questions. And you just mentioned your father. We really didn't touch on it much, but for those that don't know, John Leslie's father is the world-renowned motivational speaker, Les Brown. And one of the questions that came in through the email says, you know, please ask your guest about the fact that says your father has been such an inspiration with his peer group. Is it your intention to follow his footsteps, but with your own peer group?
That is a great question, and the answer is no. I wish, you know, they're working on this movie for my dad's life, and right now the title that they're working in is called Big Shoes, you know. Mm-hmm. He definitely gave me some big shoes to follow in. My goal is not to just be effective with my peer group, but really to be the bridge that connects with the adults of today with the adults of tomorrow, the bridge that connects the entrepreneurs of today with the top CEOs of tomorrow. So right now, you know, I'm traveling on the road for a great company, CEO Space, where I get a chance to speak to top entrepreneurs around the world in all kind of different industries. I leave tomorrow going to Erie, Pennsylvania. And the benefit that I have is I get to go and speak to those entrepreneurs the same principles that we shared with the students here at Sacramento High that are soon to be entrepreneurs, that are soon to be leaders in their community.
Well, and I'm familiar with that as well. For those that don't know, I am also connected with CEO Space, and have been very, very impressed not only with them, but with the message that they're putting out and the way in which John Leslie's putting it out as well. We have another question that came in through the email, and it says I understand that you have traveled abroad. How do you compare the youth in other countries to the youth in the United States?
Well, one thing that I noticed, I got a chance to record the song. Alan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I got a chance to record the song Born to Win while in Holland. While overseas, and one of they told me there, you know what, they get paid to go to college overseas, okay? You actually get paid to go to school. Not only that, in parts of Europe, you can get your degree in hip-hop.
Wow.
Something, look at how this culture has spread. You can get your bachelor's degree in hip-hop and go straight into the music industry overseas. And so, production-wise, as I was meeting with the independent artists there, overseas, because they're keeping up with the sound of the Americans and the American hip-hop, a lot of their stuff sounds better than ours because they're competing with us and because we're measuring that. And so, when I define show up, I say S stands for seeds of hope, the reason why you got started, the reason why I'm speaking, the reason why I'm here at Sacramento High at this great school here dealing with Deborah is because, hey, I care about the youth as well. That's the reason why I got started. But the only way that I'm going to be effective is
just having seeds of hope, but having higher standards as well. And so when you have higher standards, like they do, many of receive because they understand the value of education, it gives you an opportunity to take better advantage of the resources that you have. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And again, before we run out of time, let's talk a little bit more about High Hopes. Let's talk about the movement, and let's talk about what some of the outcomes we can expect to see in the future for High Hopes, for the songs, for the message that's out there. Tell us a little bit more.
Yes. One of the things that we can expect to see in the future is just to hear more youth use their voice. You know, it's not just about people talking and saying things. It's about seeing a speaker that you can actually connect with and inspiring young people that there's another career path out there. You can be a speaker. And so I just want you all to, that's something that we can see. And so as you can see, I'm working on a new speaker as we speak to come in. And before we close, I want you to ask her, what's her passion? What does she want to do in life? And what inspired her? Because that story behind that is quite incredible. But the High Hopes for High School program is designed to do three things. Number one, to raise the graduation rate. We're going to take that 52% and we're going to bring it up. We're going to work together to bring that up. So if you know anyone in your community at a high school we need to be at, please contact the show and contact us so that we can come. Number two is to teach young people the power of effective communication skills. If I could earn $2,500 an hour at 14, they could earn triple that now at even an earlier age. And number three is to teach young people to dress not for success but for access to whatever their true purpose in life is. And those are the three measurables that you will see. If in the next 10 years, you start to see a different culture in the high schools. You can remember, hey, hold on. I remember that program that started this whole thing. Number one, to raise the graduation rate. Number two, to help young people to develop effective communication skills so that you see a speaker's salary as lucrative as an athlete, okay, because they are. And number three, to teach them how to dress or access whatever their purpose is.
Absolutely. So, again, those listening out there, think about the things that you can do and get involved in this transformation. It's a powerful movement. So think about, are you connected with the PTA? For those of you that run some of the schools out there that I know are listening because I get some of your comments, think about the things that you can do in regards to this movement. If it can start with getting John Leslie out there to speak before your school, and from there to train some of your kids who can then take it. And this is going to be a giant pyramid, folks. It's just going to keep growing and growing and growing, and doing it with a positive message. That's the key. It is a positive message. If you want your kids listening to something, this is what they need to be listening to. So again, John Leslie, before we're out of time, tell us again where they can find the CDs. And how they can get a hold of you. And again, for those, if you're driving and you can't write this down, you can still get a hold of the station. You can reach us at answersforthefamily.com. And we will get the message to John Leslie and his people.
Exactly. And also through my website, johnlesliebrown.com, JohnLeslie. Brown.com. You know, my artist name is High Hopes, for those of you all that don't know. And High Hopes is an acronym. It stands for a hip-hop intellectual going higher, helping other people everywhere soar. And so you can also always email me at highhopes@johnlesliebrown.com. That's highhopes@johnlesliebrown.com. And I'm big on giving. You know, my dad taught me that impact drives income. And so my gift to your listeners today is it's the High Hopes from this student right here that we're with. And I asked her two questions when coming in, and I know we have to end the show on time, but I just wanted to share with her. I said, what's your passion? And she told me that she wanted to be a registered nurse.
that she was going to be a nurse. And I said, why? And can you please tell the listeners and Mr. Cardoza why you decided to be a nurse?
Well, I decided I wanted to be a nurse because when I had my son, I had him 3 months early. He was 1 pound when he was born. And I just really liked the way that the nurses helped me in the hospital. Like, they would call me all the time, let me know what's going on. And I just noticed that every day, like, there's a new baby born, and most of them would come to the NICU. And I just really appreciated how the nurses helped me. So I just feel like I should give back, and I just want to help someone who helped me, how they helped me, because that really affected my life for them to save my son because he almost didn't make it.
See, and that's paying it forward. That's why I was saying it's going to be like a giant, you know, a giant pyramid. It's going to pay it forward because, you know, somebody's helping her, and now from there she wants to help others, and so on and so on and so on. Wow, I really wish we had more time. John Leslie, thank you so much for coming on. I know that we're going to have you on here again. And why don't you take us out of here? And you've got another song. It's called Fireplace. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And for all of you all that did not get a chance to comment, or just email us, and we'll make sure that we send you copies of Fireplace and Born to Win, and answer any questions that you all might have. You know, I'm in the business of provide. You got to provide more service than you get paid for. And in closing, I just want all of your listeners to know that it's your time.
That's right.
A piece that I wrote when I was 14 years old with those that are looking for answers for their family. Okay?
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. And everybody, remember, seek to catch someone doing something good every day. We're out of here.
Exactly.
Welcome. Find your fireplace. Find your fireplace. Find your fireplace.
Get the fire from the pit. Get the fire from the pit.
Find your fireplace. Find your fireplace. Find your fireplace.
Today.
Find what motivates you. Find your fireplace.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.